Hey guys, welcome to Asterix R, the podcast that nobody asked for. Today I'm joined by Ethan, as usual, my co-host.
Woo!
And Chelsea, a special guest.
Hello!
Okay, waiting for you to say something. And then I'm Kuji, trying to be a host for once.
Yes.
And doing great, if I do say so myself.
Doing great, the energy's way up.
Oh,
I like it.
It's terrific. So today, we are doing the movie Finding Nemo. Yeah, great movie. Doing great so far, apparently, with myself. It was released 2003 to universal acclaim, I'm pretty sure. I think you guys would agree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
Okay.
99% of Rotten Tomatoes. Best-selling DVD title of all time. Boom. How about that?
That's amazing. I thought that would be like a porno, probably, but...
Okay. That was according to Wikipedia, and it said as of 2006, so I don't know what that means, but we can stick with it.
I mean,
feel like DVD sales have only gone down since then.
that's probably
a good point.
Yeah,
generally.
That was the last great DVD.
Maybe Finding Dory was like the highest rated Blu-ray sales, you know? Maybe they got both.
Yeah, could be. We've moved on in technology. So we're bringing Chelsea on here, our dear friend Chelsea, because this is your favorite movie, right?
Well, it's definitely my favorite Pixar movie.
You really backed off.
Oh, damn it. I was told you.
It's up there, though. It's up there. I only own three movies, and this happens to be one. So
I was really hoping
to that best-selling DVD title.
I was really hoping you'd say, this is two of them.
<That would be great. laughs> One of three, yeah.
Well, I mean... Amongst our friends, I'm pretty sure whenever I think of Finding Nemo, I think of you. So I thought it was appropriate to invite you along.
And I'm excited to be here.
This was part of like the whole impetus for almost starting this podcast, I feel like. You mentioned Pixar movies and then you were like, immediately, we could bring on Chelsea. Mm-hmm. She loves Finding Nemo. And then maybe at some point we'll find out other friends like Pixar movies. I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure they have to, right? Like, I mean, who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
It's only you guys.
apparently so.
Quite possible.
And me.
Just go over some other tidbits about this movie. It was written and directed by Andrew Stanton, which is not John Lasseter, who directed the first couple we did, except for Monsters, Inc.
Not John Lasseter. Yeah, Pete Docter did Monsters, Inc. So this is the third... director, I guess, that they're bringing in, co-directed by Lee Unkrich. Don't forget him.
No, never forget Lee Unkrich.
I don't really know what a co-director does on an animated movie, but whatever.
I mean, he just...
I don't know enough about movies.
Oversees it or something, you know?
Co-oversees.
Yeah. This movie is 100 minutes, which...
Yeah, I like how you put the runtime in there.
Well, I mean, it's important to put in there. I mean, it dragged at some points, not to, you know, offend the movie, but...
Oof.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We'll get...
Which point?
We'll get... Yeah, dang. We'll get to that, I guess.
I guess we will.
I have a point. I have a point it dragged, so we'll get to that.
See? Not alone.
All right. I'll hear you out.
All right. Well... As usual, we'll talk about our first time seeing this movie, if we remember it, and how we felt about it. I'd like to invite Chelsea to do that first, because, you know, she's our guest and all.
So, I was trying to think back to the first time I saw the movie, and I really cannot remember the very first time, but I do have a very memorable experience when I brought the movie to show my little cousins. I guess when the movie came out, I was like 15, 16 maybe? High school? Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
15,
that makes sense,
I feel like.
Yeah.
And my cousins were all like kids, you know, 7, 8, 5. And I brought the movie over to their house because I was like, guys, I love this movie and I'm 15. You guys are going to really love this movie because it's a kids movie and you guys are all kids, right? And I remember showing it to them, and they just weren't into it. And I was like, what?
Really?
Yeah, and then this happened to me over the summer as well. I worked for a summer camp, and I was like, all right, guys, they're putting on my favorite movie. Here goes Finding Nemo. And they whined. They didn't want to watch it. And they said it was too sad. And I think they just, like, couldn't get over the beginning. And I was like, I mean, I don't know. It's just a strange thing. But, yeah, I remember showing it to my cousins. And they're like, why is this your favorite movie? And I don't know. It's just really strange. So then I was like, really am mean. I the only person that loves this movie? Apparently not. Because, making $940 million is quite a bit.
Maybe all those kids were like... I don't know, they didn't like DVD, like they were like Betamax or something, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know if they're like...
Sorry, never mind.
Their target audience was not like young children, maybe it's more older children. But there's definitely some points in there that I feel like kids don't really quite understand. Like the group therapy session with the sharks, like... I don't know if that it goes over their head. I'm not really sure what it is, but I love it, and I wish I could remember the first time I saw it, but I do not.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I kind of have a similar memory of the movie, because 2003, I was in high school, so this one kind of marks, like, the new generation of Pixar movies in my mind. Like, I was kind of at the age where I wasn't really too excited for, like, kids' movies anymore.
Yeah,
but I remember when it came out, yeah, it was really popular amongst me and my friends, and I feel like I watched this movie so many times actually in high school, like a substitute would come in and didn't know what to do, so they just put on Finding Nemo.
Yeah, I feel like that.
Or like there was like a random day off. Yeah.
For what class?
So maybe it biology? I don't know. It was like any class. It was just like a really popular movie for...
Like a safe bet.
Kids of our age. yeah, exactly. Like, no one's offended by this movie. Everyone's going
to
like it.
Yeah, no one's losing their job over it.
But I could see that, though. I could see kids... The intro is pretty scary and sad. Mm-hmm. The sharks, they don't quite get, I guess, the rehab idea of it, so they're just scary to the kids.
And then the whole, like...
But I do feel like... Yeah.
I was going to say that... Right before the sharks, and then after with the, like, underwater mines and stuff. That's a little scary. I don't know. The whole thing's a little scary.
I mean, to be honest, yeah, just... I don't know if it's something the kids realize they're scared of, but the open water is frightening to me. I definitely have that phobia.
Oh, that's frightening to me too, man.
Which is... thalassophobia, I looked up. Fear of open water.
I mean, because it's so deep, man.
I got that in spades. So deep. Like goes
the,
forever.
Like it's the Marianas so Trench, man. I don't know how deep that goes.
Very deep. Confirmed. Very deep.
And then you think about, like... I kept thinking about, like, Quint from Jaws. And his whole story.
Yeah. Yeah, humans are scared of open water.
It's scary, because then sharks circle you. Black eyes,
but, I get what
like a doll's eyes.
Yeah. Lifeless eyes.
I've seen it once before.
That's
yeah. Anyway.
This has been a theme since pretty much the original Toy Story. I don't remember seeing any of these movies for the first time, except for Toy Story. I like vividly remember that, but none of the other ones I kind of just remember seeing here and there, like I said, in high school or... at friends' houses, whatever.
I think I remember Toy Story 3.
Yeah, that one I think I did see in theaters too. Well, that was recent. Do you remember the first time you saw Kuji?
I don't, and I remember seeing an ad. I remember seeing a movie. It was that Jane Goodall movie about chimps. And I was seeing it with Chelsea, and I remember they were just released Finding Nemo 3D. And I remember being excited about seeing that.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah. I never saw it in 3D, though. It never happened.
Neither did I.
Yeah, me neither. They did that with, like, Lion King, too, right? I mean, they re-released it in 3D.
How do you make that 3D?
I don't know. I don't know how they really do it for any of them. I haven't done that yet, seen a movie that was re-released in 3D. But maybe it's cool. I don't know. This would be a pretty cool movie for it if it worked out well.
Yeah.
It's so rich.
The colorful.
Visuals are so colorful.
Actually, yeah. I feel like that's a thing. being excited to see a movie we released in 3D and then never going to see it, because that happened with Jurassic Park too, and I was like, I gotta see this, and then I never actually did.
Yeah, in theory it's a great idea, but I'm not gonna drop 20 bucks.
No, and I'm not really a fan of 3D too much, so I think the concept of Finding Nemo being right there in my face was exciting, but not enough for me to go through the motion sickness.
Yeah, exactly. It can go really poorly if it makes you vomit. Yeah. You don't want that.
Just take some Dramamine, dude. Come on. Yeah.
Bring up my second beer here. Jesus. Let's get at it.
It's only 8 in the morning, Ethan. Jesus Christ.
So, this has... The stars of this one, I guess, are Albert Brooks and Ellen DeGeneres, really.
Woo, Ellen!
Yeah.
Ellen, she kills it, really, in this movie.
She kills it, yeah.
I was reading the director, Andrew Stanton. He wanted to get her just because he watched an episode of her show, Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
And according to him, she vacillated through like 5 different topics in the course of one sentence. So she was perfect for this role.
That's awesome.
I really liked that. It's more or less, I like discovering that Jeffrey Rush was the Pelican. I didn't realize it until I looked it up, because I'm like, that voice seems familiar and comforting.
Yeah, same thing.
But I feel like they didn't give him enough lines, though.
No, definitely not. And Willem Dafoe, too. He killed it as Gil. Yeah. But not too.
And the Pufferfish Raven.
Yes.
That guy.
Brad Garrett. Our favorite.
I wish he was in every movie. They nailed it, his character too. He should definitely be a puffer fish. Exactly. Like, come on.
Yeah, he's always got to be like some kind of larger creature than every other creature.
All right, that's a little insulting, but all right.
He's a big guy in real life. I mean, he's tall.
He's like 10 feet tall. He's ridiculous.
He's a monster of a man. A mountain of a man is what I meant to say. Not a monster. Monster's a little more offensive. So you want to just start going through it? Go like scene by scene, talk about it. I have a very interesting theory to present to you.
That's exciting.
Like, before we start talking about anything?
Well, no, it's involved in the intro scene. So...
Okay.
So they... I guess we could start just say a quick synopsis of the movie. Marlin is the main fish, voiced by Albert Brooks. His... Mm-hmm. Wife and children are taken from him by a barracuda, and so he's only got the one remaining son, Nemo, and he's very protective of him because he's only his last son. And then Nemo defies his father's overprotection, gets captured, and then Marlin has to go save him. That's pretty much, I guess, on the most basic level.
Yeah,
captured by a fisherman. That's important.
Captured by a fisherman, yeah.
That's also a dentist.
It turns out to be a dentist. Yeah.
Which means he's a shitty person. All right.
He probably...
I hate dentists. Hate them. And this, you know, this movie is actually a scathing review of malpractice in dentist office, I really think. Which happens a lot. It's happened to me, personally.
Severe malpractice?
Severe, I mean.
Is that why you have no teeth?
I don't... Just gums.
I always wondered that.
My friends call me gums.
It was really confusing at first, but now it makes sense.
No, because when I was a kid, I had a couple cavities, right? And I went to this doctor, and he's like, oh yeah, I got the Novocaine, whatever, and he put it in whatever. I don't know where he stabbed me with the Novocaine. And then he just drilled my teeth straight up, no Novocaine. Multiple times.
What? So he put...
He just didn't know...
He Novocaine the wrong Novocaine spot?
I don't know. He like Novocaine my eye or some shit. I don't know what his problem was. It was super traumatizing. And then I decided to listen to System of a Down on top of it, which made it worse. Bad music choice.
Damn. So you had 2 teeth removed without Novocaine? That's pretty intense.
No, they were drilled, not removed.
Oh, okay.
So it was worse because I sit there and have him like... You know, you can feel the nerve, you know?
Yeah, no. I don't like that at all. So that's one of the more subtle background stories of this movie, is that dentists are evil and idiots.
Also, I didn't think it was possible, but I think this movie somehow was racist against Australians. Which I didn't pick up the first couple times I watched it.
Could be.
Like, they really press the Australian thing.
I mean, it takes place in Australia.
Well, yeah.
They're really pushing that Australian objective.
Well, I mean, like, but like everything, like, the guy's name was Bruce, and they... He said Sheila and bloke a whole bunch, and they were like the surfer dudes. I don't know. They really pulled out like every stereotype possible. Instead of like, I'm surprised they didn't end the movie like living in a can of Foster's or some shit.
Yeah, no Foster's and no Vegemite. I don't know why they didn't push that.
Also, they kept. I don't think they thought people knew what Sydney was because they kept showing the Opera House like that's the only thing in Sydney. Like that's the only thing you would ever recognize.
It's an icon.
That's their thing.
That's their thing.
Chelsea, you've been to Australia, haven't you?
I have. I went 2005, so 2 years after this movie came out.
And, did you go because of this movie?
I didn't, but while we were there, we did look for 42 Wallaby Way and did not find it.
Oh, dang it.
Was Wallaby Way a real street? Because I feel like that's one of those like other, like, it's Australia, you know?
I don't really.
We'll have to verify that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get your.
We'll have to fly you back out there.
We'll get your interns on it, Chelsea. Have them verify.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll get some. Get my interns to look that one up for us.
Yeah, we got
to
see if
dig up some dirt.
Yeah, do any of those interns want to work for a unsuccessful podcast?
They may. So when you Google it, everything. If you just put in Wallaby Way, Sydney, everything is just Finding Nemo.
So. I'm sure they've made it by now just to because of that movie.
42 Wallaby Way Sherman, P. Sherman.
Yeah.
Or like some thieves did it to like lure people into there and to like steal their money, you know?
Oh man.
Or did not? You, did you? But that's my plan. Don't steal it.
Did you go to Sydney, Chelsea?
I did. Yeah, to the Opera House and.
Nice. of course.
You know. The Sydney Harbour Bridge is a big thing there. That's another icon piece. I can't remember if they showed that in the film or not, but that's a big one. And then we took a little boat out there to the Great Barrier Reef. So that was when the real search for Nemo began.
Yeah. Are there actual clownfish there? I don't even know if that's like...
Yeah, there's clownfish out there. Nice. I was wondering why they chose clownfish of all the fish for Nemo to be.
I honestly think it's so they could do that bit over and over again about like clownfish.
About his funny jokes. Yeah. Dad jokes are pretty big.
I mean, that kind of is the reason I was reading about it.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, and plus they also, like, that's the clownfish, they do actually just like live in the sea anemones. And they don't really, like, ever go out of it. So the director, Andrew Stanton, was like, oh, that's kind of perfect for a character that has to be pushed out of his comfort zone.
Ah, that makes sense.
So there you go. Plus, yeah, clownfish, perfect for jokes. Bingo, bango. You got yourself a movie right there.
There we go.
Speaking of the movie.
Let's start. Yeah, let's get to it. All right, so... It opens up on an anemone. And it's like Marlin and I forget his wife's name.
Coral.
Good name. Classic. And they're like talking about how happy they are. They got a new house, some prime real estate. And then they look at the eggs and they go like, that'll be Coral Jr., that'll be Marlin Jr. And then she just goes out of nowhere, Nemo! And then I thought maybe they were going to like explain why she thought that, but they never did. She just says, I like Nemo. Period. How is it?
Full stop.
Yeah. But then they see, like, everyone's, like, thriving and stuff, and then a barracuda just, like, is kind of, like, lumbering around. I think she led him right to it.
Oh, you think?
Because he was going to go for them, I think, and she was like, I'm going to prep my eggs. Instead, I'm going to kill all my children.
Well, that plays...
But that's just me.
That plays into my theory here. So, Bear with me.
That she was a barracuda in disguise.
Oh, kind of. So the intro scene, yeah, they're showing their new house. They live in like what's their equivalent of suburbia. And the whole time, the wife, Coral, is like not really too into it. She's kind of just like, yeah, this is okay. And Marlon's like, it's prime real estate, blah, blah, blah. And then they look down and like they see all their eggs. And then Coral's kind of like, man, we're going to be a mother. And she kind of just seems like a little put off by like becoming domesticated. Maybe she's more of like a free spirit. So my idea is, she planned the whole thing. She staged the assault with the barracuda, who is either, it's either her lover or a hired goon. And she just really, she seemed like she wasn't into it, so she got this barracuda to come, attack him, knock out Marlin, so he wouldn't notice that he was just, you know, scooping up all the good eggs and leaving. And she left Nemo because the egg was damaged. And maybe she felt bad for Marlin, so she wanted to leave him, like, one egg left over. But when Marlin wakes up, there's no real, like, there's no sign of struggle anywhere. It looks like it's all a little too clean.
Yeah, there's no, like, bloody fish carcass or anything. It's just everyone's gone.
Exactly.
Also, no witnesses.
Yeah, no witnesses.
Mm-hmm. The perfect crime.
You know?
So that was my crazy theory I thought of last night.
Maybe it's a subtle touch on the oppression of women in suburban America. You know?
Yeah, probably that.
They want to be independent, and men in barracudas won't let them be independent.
Plus, like, where's that barracuda come from? It just, like, shows up out of the middle of nowhere? I don't know.
Well, they don't play by anybody's rules, you know?
It's all a little...
He's just swimming around looking for food.
It was all a little fishy to me.
It's waiting for that.
That was just a one big setup for that joke.
So then flash forward. Well, that was pretty. That was a bummer. That was pretty sad.
It's a sad intro. I guess.
It's a rough start to a movie. Mm-hmm.
It's like up. Like they start you like real low, like as low as possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, it's a little happier than up.
I don't know. His wife and like 300 of his kids get eaten. That's pretty rough. I guess, I mean, Up's definitely got it.
Yeah, but in Up, that one lady dies.
One lady and the baby, right? We'll get to
that. Oh, shit. There's a baby. Oh, man. I forgot that. I'm really sad.
You forgot that? Oh, I can't wait till we do Up.
I'm not looking forward to that.
You both will be in tears.
Yeah, the whole podcast will just be crying.
All right, flash forward.
Boom.
Now Nemo's like a preteen or something. And it'd take him to fish school. Which, by the way, seems like the coolest school ever, because that manta ray is like the coolest dude on earth.
Yeah, he's great.
It's like a field trip every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he sings songs about weird genus and species names that I don't know. He seems like the best teacher ever.
Yeah.
Seaweed is cool, seaweed is fun.
I know, I really wanted to write down every song he sang, because they're great.
He's like Miss Frizzle of the fish world.
Oh, yeah. Miss Frizzle.
He's Miss Frizzle and the magic bus all rolled into one.
Yeah, it's true.
Also, the manta ray seems to think that he can protect everyone. I don't understand why he's so confident in that. He's just like, yeah, I got this. We're cool.
I mean, he's a teacher. He's got it. Mm-hmm.
All right. What if someone came in the ocean with a gun? What is he going to do?
Let's not start the gun talk gun. Again.
A harpoon gun.
You're always pushing your rhetoric.
It's worse than a gun, Kuji. It's a boat.
Boat or a butt.
A butt.
I thought that was funny. I still think that's funny.
Classic joke. I think that's pretty good. Classic boat to butt mix up.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the inciting incident there. They go to school, and then Nemo and his other friends are doing a little fish dick measuring contest.
Yeah, he like automatically is peer pressured into like everything.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like, maybe Marlin kind of knows what he's talking about. Nemo's pretty, yeah, he's very easily swayed into doing dangerous things.
Well, he's just been sheltered his whole life. He's, like, ready to get out there, have some adventures.
True. That's true.
I don't think he's really trying to be defiant. He's just like, oh, I've never seen anything or done anything cool, so maybe this is my chance.
Yeah, first chance to touch
a butt. And then he becomes defiant.
Yeah, it's really, yeah.
Well, his Marlin keeps telling him, like, come back, come back. And he's like, eh, nope. I'm going out here.
Well, then when they see the divers, the teacher just swoops up, like, all the kids, and then he's like, fuck Marlin. And he just, like, leaves them out there in the open for anything.
That's true. The manta ray really could have done some damage to those divers if he wanted to.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, so Nemo goes out, tries to touch the boat, ends up getting captured by the divers, and that's really what kicks it all off here.
Yeah.
Then Marlin's got to go save him.
Also, they have a very, like, in-depth knowledge about divers and boats. I feel like they understand the human world very well, which I think is a theme amongst, like, all these movies. You know, like the toys or the bugs, like, all of them are very aware of the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
In which they probably wouldn't.
Yeah, this one gets us back to, like, the objects living in a human world, like, interacting with humans. That, I guess, only other, like, Toy Story obviously touches on that, but Monsters, Inc., Bugs Life, they don't really deal with humans at all. Well, I guess that's wrong. Monsters, Inc. does deal with humans. What am I talking about?
Yeah, it's, like, the number one thing they do, yeah.
I'm too drunk at this point.
Well, I think both of them, yeah, it is kind of strange how they're so aware of what goes on in the human world, yet they don't know really specific things, like how to read,
mm-hmm.
or what a dentist is.
Yeah.
But they understand the things they need to understand, I guess, to survive, like boats and divers.
Yeah, they even, jumping ahead a little bit, but the scene with the sharks, after they meet the sharks, and Marlin explains that his son got taken by divers. Mm-hmm. one of the sharks, Anchor, I think his name is, he was like, what does he say here? I think I wrote it down. He's like, oh, humans thinking they own everything.
Yeah.
And then he says, like, they're probably American, too.
Oh, yeah, I did write that down, and I was like,
oh, that's hilarious. And
nice little dig.
Bit of a shot there. Shots fired. But yeah, that is the fish kind of talking in a way that he's, like, sick and tired of dealing with humans. Like, he knows humans so well.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're in Australia makes it weird that he knows that America exists and their personality traits and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though, joke's on him, it wasn't Australian, so.
Yeah, and he was a dentist. Yes. Piece of shit.
Screw you, sir.
I do like how they rag on dolphins, and dolphins are straight up dicks. Like, that's totally true.
Shark.
I just wanted to add that in there. They're terrible, the sharks.
Before the sharks, though, that's when Marlin meets Dory for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and that's a pretty hilarious scene. Watching it for the billionth time earlier today, and I just, like, of course I know what Dory's doing, but I was trying to remember, like, the first time I saw it, if I was like, what the heck is wrong with this fish, or what? Like, because I know what her problem is now at this point, but thinking back to the first time I saw it, I was like, I probably felt just like Marlin. Like, what is she doing? Why doesn't she remember anything?
Yeah, that's a... Oh, sorry. Go future.
I was going to say, I'm very concerned about, like, whatever, like, brain damage she went through or something. Like, even more so in this movie, this watching, I was like, God, that is very sad.
She's like, first I went this way, then I went this way.
Yeah, there's even, like, a kind of a dark joke in there when he first meets her, and she's, I think she mentions that she has, like, a memory problem, and then she talks about, it runs in her family, and then she's like, where is my family?
But then that doesn't make sense, because it's not, like, that'd be a long-term memory thing. You wouldn't have short-term family memories.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's got a lot of things clacking around in her head.
She's got problems.
Yeah. She needs help. Dory needs help.
But she's so lovable.
So lovable.
I know. Well,
you can't help.
If it was anybody but Ellen, I think it would be tragic.
Yeah, that's one of the voice roles they got that's like you can't separate it from the actor there. Like, Dory is Ellen, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's an interesting character trait too. I mean, outside of Memento, I don't know, like, yeah, too many characters are short term memory loss, but God. It's a pretty brilliant idea.
I like.
I wish. I wish Trinity was in this movie.
Yeah, Trinity could have been here too.
Not like this. Not like this.
So yeah, they meet up with Dory, and then they meet up with the sharks, and then they have that rehab scene that kids don't understand because kids are stupid.
Yeah,
and they don't need rehab.
Yeah, kids usually don't need rehab. That's true.
Like, they treat it like just a general meeting because they were like talking about their fish addiction or whatever. But then Marlin gets up there and there's like, you have a problem. We know you do. Mm-hmm. But they're the ones who like took him in there. That really bugged me. They like, put him on the spot and they told me he was in denial.
Yeah. It's a lot of peer pressure there.
I know. Even though Marlin is he's a nightmare person, honestly. The whole movie, he is just terrible.
Yeah, he's a big coward.
Yeah, and he's a dick to everybody.
Which is another interesting thing for like the main character to be like a major coward.
That I think it's a theme in Pixar is that the main character is a huge dick that no one likes.
That's true. Yeah, as we've discovered, Woody's an asshole. Flick, I don't know. Flick was kind of a dud.
Yeah, he was semi-lovable.
Sully was pretty selfish.
Mm-hmm.
In Monsters, Inc.
The thing about Marlin is he's just, like, such a wimp, but all the characters and stuff that he meets along the way are so awesome.
Yeah.
It's not really Marlin that I like, but, like, the sharks, and then, well, we haven't talked about the turtles yet, but they're my favorite. And then there's the whale. All the characters he encounters are way more fun than he is.
Yeah, yeah. So thankfully they don't focus on him too much because yeah, he's kind of a wet blanket the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about the shark scene, I thought they don't eat fish, but they never say what they do eat, which I thought they did.
Yeah,
that was my big question. Yeah. I don't know, kelp, I guess kale,
maybe.
I mean, it seems like crabs. they're failing at everything they're doing anyway.
Yeah, they don't eat fish, but they eat crabs and lobsters.
Well, they don't count.
Yeah, those things are gross.
Yeah.
Underwater bugs.
Oh, I did appreciate the here's Brucey scene. That was...
Yeah, so, well, yeah, they... I mean, Bruce starts...
It's overdone, but I thought it was good anyway.
Yeah. This movie really does a good job of, like, everything kind of works. Everything makes sense in the movie. So, like, they get brought in by these sharks... And then, in the process of retrieving, like, the goggles again, Dory's nose gets bloody, and then the shark tries to eat them. But that sets up them in the torpedo tube, where we learn that Dory can read English. So it's kind of like a natural way to get that out of her, because she just, like...
Which, I still understand why she would know that.
Well, that's fine.
It's just that she doesn't know her former life, so maybe in her former life she was a writer. Who knows?
She really is Memento.
That's true. Maybe she was like a...
She learned to read at some point, but we just don't know how, because she doesn't know how.
Yeah, that's true. That kind of answers that. Maybe she was like a domesticated fish for a writer.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows?
But it just kind of, it works, and it all, like, is satisfying in the way that they discover everything and move through the story.
Yeah, I agree.
It's the first of the Pixar movies that I noticed. It's kind of like just a road movie. Like, they go from A to B. Well, nah, I guess maybe Toy Story is kind of like that, too.
They're on a journey.
They're on a journey. But they kind of, for that one, they're, like, traveling through the entirety of the ocean. They, like, know where they're going. Toy Story, they're kind of just, like, lost in the world, but this one they're like, they know where they're going to Sydney, so everything along the way is like trying to get them closer and closer to Sydney.
Yeah,
so yeah, that's so they
speak of Sydney.
Yeah.
They blow up the submarine because there's a bunch of random mines for no reason, and no one gets hurt, and then now we're in the dentist's office
Yeah, Flash to the
Devil's Lair. And there's a couple things I noticed from the scenes here. There's a Buzz Lightyear doll, which I'm sure you saw.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's a bunch of Highlights magazines.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
Oh, that makes total sense.
I used to love those.
And there's a Koala Classic magazine, which I don't know if it's a thing.
Koala? Is it just called Koala?
It's one of those Australian things Koala. We don't know.
And then there was an article on the paper that said, Alien stole my dingo. I swear to God.
I'm glad you know, because yeah, I knew there was a lot of stuff probably to be found. I'm glad you paused it.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the only good, like, because everything else is in the ocean. I mean,
yeah, not too many other Easter eggs. But yeah, they're in the dentist office and Nemo's meeting all the characters in the little aquarium there. Gil, Willem Dafoe, is, you know, the badass.
Yeah.
Peach, Brad Garrett, your favorite. The puffer fish. I like the little guy that was like a clean freak.
Oh,
I thought he was pretty funny.
The French guy?
Oh, no, not the French guy was great too, but the fish, the purple fish that was like,
Oh, okay.
He was pretty funny.
I love the starfish. He's just like so concerned.
Yeah, Peach the starfish is great.
Yeah.
She's kind of like the motherly figure too. She's kind of like watching over them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because throughout like a lot of the scenes, she's just kind of like talking. And like they're not even really listening to her. But like later on, like, she's like explaining what the dentist is doing, and she's just kind of like restating everything, every step of the path. Mm-hmm. She has his like schedule down pat. That was kind of funny.
I think it was cool that that they were so intent on like watching all his procedures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they knew all the dentist terminology, which is funny. I guess you wonder how long they've been there.
Yeah. And they all seem like insane.
I really like the part where they all said where they came from.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
And the starfish is like eBay.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Like, one of them said mail order as well.
Yeah, like, yeah, hilarious.
Mail order fishes.
There's just so many jokes throughout the movie that go so quick. You have to kind of be listening to catch them.
Yeah, maybe that's the other reason why kids don't like it. I felt like all the puns were a lot more subtle in this one, too.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to harp on the dentist more, but every scene there... you're right. He keeps on doing stuff, like, so wrong. The guy is, like, screaming and miserable, and then the other one, he, like, pulls his tooth out because he, like, saw a thing. Like, he's the worst dentist.
But, yeah, at one point, he's working on the prime minister, though, he says.
Yeah.
So he must be like a big deal dentist.
He shouldn't be. He should be in prison.
You think all dentists should be in prison? You've said that many times.
Yep. I agree with that. I stand by it.
Oh, my God.
Everyone. Even my grandpa.
Your grandpa was a dentist?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you hate him.
No, well, he didn't. He never did any work on me.
Oh, okay. Maybe you just wanted his attention. You wanted him to be your dentist, but he rebuked you, and then now you've hated dentists ever since.
Maybe I gotta see a therapist.
A couple of good things from the first dentist scene. When the bird comes in, Nigel. And they're talking about where they all come from, and Nemo says he's from the ocean. Nigel calls him an Audi. I thought that was kind of a cute
that's
name.
Cute.
I want to use that, but I don't know how to apply it to day-to-day life.
Reminds me of towards the beginning when I think Marlin calls the seahorse Pony Boy.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. He doesn't get it.
Pony boy.
Yeah, that's good.
I'd like to use that one as well.
Like, as he's leaving.
Shut up, pony boy.
Yeah. That's a good one. The other good one, I think, is from this part. The dentist says, I gotta see a man about a wallaby when he goes to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I have used that in the past.
Is that a real expression? I thought you were just being Australia racist again.
It could be. Gotta maybe go. I'm perpetuating a racism, but...
Maybe aliens took his wallaby. I don't know.
Gotta go see a man about a wallaby.
This movie does have... I feel like it is really quotable.
It really is.
There's that. There's the just keep swimming that Dory sings. I still say that weekly. There's the...
To keep and yourself going. The handshake between Squirt and Mr. Turtle. Like, give me some fin.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Turtle was my father's name.
Yeah. What's his real name? I mean, what does he go by?
Crush.
Crush.
Crush. Crush, yeah.
Yeah.
Crush Turtle.
Those are good ones. Later on, we're kind of jumping all over, but when he, Shark Bait Brouhaha, I still say that a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Shark Bait Brouhaha.
And one I have quoted before is when they wake up and the tank is clean, they're like, it's a beautiful day, the sun is shining, the tank is clean, the tank is clean!
Yeah, one of the more quotable movies.
Yeah, it sticks. Mm. Sticky quotes.
So, as the movie does, it cuts from the dentist back to the ocean again.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they like passed, I don't know, they passed out like every 5 minutes in this movie. But they passed out in the goggles and they drop it down a deep sea trench.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pretends to be Dory's conscious, which doesn't, I don't understand what that was about.
He's just playing along with her neuroses.
Also,
well, she doesn't understand me, so I'll just go along with how she understands the world.
So the anglerfish is like super fucking scary.
Oh yeah.
And I thought to myself, they can't be that scary in real life. And I looked at a picture of them and they're terrifying.
Oh yeah, they're fucking nasty.
It is horrifying.
All the deep sea fish are like just absolute monsters, just nightmares.
And let's make a movie about that.
Yeah, I mean, that was another part of this movie that like kind of made me a little nervous. Them going like going into just black water is so scary.
All right, man.
It's bringing up all my phobias, man.
Black water, come on, man.
Black water, yeah.
And they go to the initiation thing. I like the scene where they're talking about their plan of what they're gonna do. Because it's like Ocean's 11-esque, like, planned sequence.
Yeah, thing. Back in the aquarium, Gil's got the plans.
Ah, Gil's so wise.
Yeah, so worldly. But that was my other thing, too, because, like, so they've been in this aquarium for a long time, because they know all the dentist, like, terms and his schedule. Like, how many times have they tried this plan, I wonder? How many other tiny fish have they killed trying to do this plan? Because they try it. Nemo almost dies.
Yeah.
And Darla, man, she's just scary little monster kid.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that her name? Darla?
Darla, yeah.
Darla.
Yeah. Oof.
I feel like the guys at Pixar are afraid of children. Because,
ironically,
they have terrifying children in like all the movies.
Yeah, Sid. Sid's pretty scary. I was wondering, too, I guess Darla's like the villain of the movie, right?
I guess
because there's not really like an antagonist other than I guess just the difficulties of getting through the water.
Yeah, just air.
Yeah, everything's the antagonist, and then I guess maybe Darla's the main one. Now, have either of you guys had braces?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you really have like that bar around your face? That's just a cartoon thing, right?
I think it's also like in early 90s that like maybe that's what braces were like.
Could be
at one point, because I remember like some sitcoms people having them. I can't think of anything in particular, but
I know I've seen it, yeah, in like cartoons and TV, but I've never seen it in real life.
Yeah, it's always on TV,
so maybe that was one of the first style of braces.
Yeah, I don't know, it does make them look way worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because then you
I used to have like the headgear you have to wear like at night, you know, you like strap it in.
Yeah, headgear. They always make fun of kids with that on TV.
But you wouldn't wear that out. That's like in the shadow somewhere. You never like wear that in public.
Maybe that's what they're riffing on.
I guess.
Sorry, I just had to get that out because I'd never seen it before. I didn't know it was a real thing.
It's probably real. Maybe in Australia. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't blame everything Australia.
But back to the movie. I think at this point is when I'm going through my scene by scene notes here that I took that are very unorganized.
Well, this is where they go back to the sea where he's trying to like break up with Dory for no apparent reason.
Yeah, he's kind of sick of her shit. But she's like, she's not really helpful.
Really doing anything. She's just like swimming around. He's like, you gotta go. And then she doesn't really get it because she can't remember things. I don't know. It's pretty messed up.
Sad. And then they meet.
But then Ham comes.
Yeah. The school of hamfish.
That made me laugh a lot. I love that scene.
I love those. Yeah, those fish are great. When they make the little fake marlin, like, nagging face, that was great.
And then they have to go in the jellyfish.
Mm-hmm.
Which, pretty sure they'd be both dead. Like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure the jellyfish are pretty deadly. Like, I'm pretty sure they'd kill a man. I don't think a little fish could survive that.
That was another one where Marlin had to, like, play with Dory's mental problems by telling her that it's a game. We'll just race through here. That's, like, the only way he could get her to do it safely.
I wrote that same thing.
It still didn't work. Yeah. Like, again, he just has to, you know, mess with her neuroses and like get her through there alive.
Well, he even
by playing tricks.
Yeah, right before that too, because they're gonna go through the trench, and then he's like, "Oh, there's a shiny object up there. Let's go chase it."
Yeah.
I wrote down here, he's just taking advantage of a mentally challenged fish.
Yeah. Poor Dory.
Well, he like immediately figures out how to like work her, so he's like, all right, if we're gonna get through here,
yep,
just gonna have to play games the whole time. Already understands his friend so well.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they fight through the jellyfish, but that was another,
and he's like sort of
what? No, you're probably gonna say the same thing. He's like immune to it.
Yeah
it's another good setup though, because you know he's immune to the anemones, so yeah. It makes sense, but although I don't,
but he's still a huge pussy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know to what extent, like, clownfish are impervious to, like, I guess, I don't know, other deadly fish, but it makes sense.
Like, if you took a clownfish and, like, put it on the third rail, you think it would make it?
This movie makes me believe yes, it would.
Yeah. All right. Can't kill a clownfish. Next movie, that probably happens. When they get saved by some cool turtles.
They, mm-hmm. Yeah, they wake up on the turtles.
Yeah, another time where they're
again
not
when they pass out. Yeah.
This movie's all about that.
So they lose consciousness, and then they wake up on the turtles, going through that current, which really does exist, I found out.
Mm.
That's
good.
I forget, the East Australian Current, it's called. Mm-hmm. So that really exists.
The EAC, and, man.
The EAC. Yeah, that's out there.
They did their research on this movie.
Yeah.
They really nailed it.
And they did some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some.
This is random, but it's like a movie trope that really bugs me. Where the main character is passed out, and he wakes up, and like everybody is already awake and like going and doing other shit already, and he's like the last one to wake up.
Mm. Yeah, even though he
doesn't not bother anybody else.
Well, I guess now that you mentioned it, it is kind of weird since he's the one that's supposed to be, like I said, impervious to the jellyfish stings.
Yeah.
But he gets knocked out longer than, like, Dory's already up and has already made friends.
Yeah, she's, like, best friends with the kids and, like, already played a game. Also, he goes straight up to her and she straight up ignores him. Like, it's like, hey, Dory, what's up? And she's like,
Well, she forgot who he was again.
We really need to help her out.
She's got problems. But,
Crush, Crush the turtle is just like the best dude.
He's your favorite. I was gonna ask if you guys liked Crush or not, but
you're asking the question. I love Crush. Yeah, I got a crush on Crush.
It's actually the voice is the director, Andrew Stanton. He was
that's interesting.
Yeah, they like recorded him just for like the placeholder, I guess, but then everyone loved it, mm-hmm. so they kept it. And the other funny thing is he did all the recordings while like lying down on a couch. Just that was kind of funny.
That just makes me like him even more.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that like his real voice too? He like wasn't even putting on an accent.
Could be. Maybe he's a California dude.
He's just so chill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does a good job on that.
His name is Crush Stanton.
Crush.
Yeah.
And then I do really like the part after that. So Marlon starts telling the story of all his previous adventures, and then it just starts getting told by all of the creatures in the sea. I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, I like
how it got back to Nemo.
Mm-hmm. I like that too, because it really like makes the connection there and bridges like the rest of the movie. It's like, okay, we're ramping it up. Mm-hmm. Like everyone's in on the plan. Here now it goes. Yeah I thought that was good.
I have this really vague memory of 101 Dalmatians, where the dogs are all howling to other dogs,
yes,
telling them about the missing puppies.
That's right.
So like then all the dogs in the world know about the puppies. It was kind of like that, but the underwater version.
That's right. Yeah, I like that too.
I liked they had they were going through the fish and they had some French swordfish that were fencing, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, they had some... yeah, they were talking about it while fencing.
And they had the Boston lobsters. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah, I like that too. I knew you'd like that.
Yeah.
He's like, it's wicked. It's wicked hot.
Of course he threw wicked in it. It's wicked hot. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
That was good. Yeah, and the dolphins talking as they're like swimming out of the water.
Yeah, they have to like say something, go back under, say something, go back under.
Yeah, fuck dolphins, man.
Kuji hates dolphins, hates dentists.
They're so mean to the sharks, man. Bruce, man.
What is he? He's like, I'm a flippy little dolphin.
Oh, yeah.
I also like how they keep calling Marlon Jellyman.
Jellyman, yeah.
Yeah, the Jellyman.
The Jellyman.
Yeah, and his kid's name is Squirt. I thought Squirt and the Jellyman is a good name for a band.
Or like a radio show.
Yeah.
With the Squirt and the Jellyman.
Oh, that's really
good. And my guest, Pony Boy.
Pony Boy.
Oh, that's so good.
But they were retelling a story, but then I felt like instead of doing like a montage, they were telling a story too much. Like they were telling a story for like ever. Like it was like, that was a part of the drag for me. It was like 40 minutes.
40
I swear,
minutes.
It was like 40 minutes of them just retelling the last 10 minutes.
You thought that part was too long? Oh, I
like they
that
were
part.
Going through, and then but then Nigel gets to the aquarium, and he tells the story again. Like he starts from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And that was I don't know.
You're like, and okay, we know.
That's when the prime minister comes in.
Yeah, that's the prime minister. It is funny for a movie to do a recap of itself halfway through.
Yeah,
it's like we did just see all that, but then they do a recount. I didn't have a problem with that scene. Like, I didn't think it would drag on like you did, but I could see what you're saying a little bit. I understand your hatred.
Yeah, well, the hatred.
I get it, but I don't agree.
I get it.
I think you've got problems to work out with dolphins and dentists and, and recaps, but I get it.
Okay. Then they exit. The EAC.
I feel like did we skip something? I feel like there is more. Oh, no. We're coming up to the whale.
The whale. Right? We think we.
Yeah.
Did we skip the Ring of Fire scene, or is that afterwards? See, I got a little confused because it goes back and forth with the tank in the ocean.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they get out of the EAC on like a roller coaster ride, which again, just like Monsters Inc. Like, why don't they have that roller coaster in real life?
Yeah,
it's awesome. I looked. There is like a Finding Nemo ride, but it's kind of just one of those ones where you like go through the movie.
Mm.
It doesn't sound too exciting.
Yeah, lame.
I want to be on a turtle, flying down the EAC. Yeah, one Disney can do it.
They totally can. This is before in the tank, but when like Willem Dafoe is talking about, I feel like there's like a little anti-SeaWorld message in here, because he's like, fish aren't meant to be kept in cages or whatever.
A little stab at SeaWorld.
Yeah, a little jab.
Or really any aquarium. Jab, stab.
Yeah, jab, stab. Yeah, it's, I looked it up too, and like, even though that's a big part of the movie, like, sales of clownfish rose by like 1,000% after this movie. And like, aquariums in general, like, went out of control. And apparently, like, they kind of destroyed the ecosystem a little bit for wherever the clownfish live, because they were just over harvested. So it's like, whoopsies. Yeah, whoops. No one got the message.
Did dentistry visits go up by any chance?
Probably not.
No.
They went went way down.
Also, that dude just needs to lock his goddamn window. He keeps letting that goddamn pelican in.
Yeah, that pelican comes by like every day.
It's such a problem. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, just close the window, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't think
also,
about that.
why does Willem Dafoe think that all drains lead to the ocean? Like, where do you get that from?
That's a good point.
They
yeah.
say it so many times, mm-hmm. too.
And it's 100% not true.
But then when he does go through the drain, he doesn't go straight to the ocean. He goes through the treatment plant first.
Yeah, which I...
At least that's what it says, but then they don't show that.
Yeah,
he'd be
forgot
straight
that.
Up dead. He would be dead.
I was wondering, yeah, if he had to, like, go through... some like desalinization process and he'd get like fucked up. I don't know, but
yeah, they like bleach that shit. Like, he would not be
but
and not be good.
But it is funny because he comes out, we're jumping ahead, but he comes out and then right there's a big buoy that says like sewage, like treated sewage. So he's out there chilling in his own poo.
I don't know if are you allowed to just do that?
Like, as long as you have a buoy,
is that
up.
A thing? Yeah, okay, it's great. Because the ocean doesn't spread or anything. It's fine.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's all, water's clean. So where were we in the movie?
Oh, man. Well, I guess...
we're getting towards the end.
Part where they get... oh, the whale. They're in the whale's mouth.
Yeah, that's right. They get out of the EAC and then they get eaten by the whale.
And then...
well, Dory tries to speak whale, which is just hilarious. That's another quotable thing.
Oh, yeah.
Is her... her whale voice is just hilarious.
Yeah, I do that from time to time, I think. whenever we talk about whales.
Whenever you see a whale. Yeah. Yeah.
So often in Texas.
And that's where Marlin learns to let go.
He learns to let go,
and
yeah.
And be okay.
The whale scene, for me, is like the point where it drags. I always feel like the whale scene's like 20 minutes long, but it's really like 5 minutes.
It's just because they're talking really slow.
Yeah. That must be it. I was like, oh, it's dragging. I was like, hello.
It's really because they're talking like this.
So yeah, they got the whale because Marlin learns to let go.
Yep.
And then they and get then eaten they by get... a pelican, don't they? Like, immediately and afterwards.
And basically kill it. He's, like, choking to death.
Yeah, that poor pelican. Apparently they wanted that pelican to have a bigger role, but it didn't fit in.
Okay.
It's kind of a weird note, but yeah, I guess they originally planned to have more Nigel and whatever the other pelican's name was.
I would have loved more Nigel. 100%.
Nigel was great. I could be down with that.
And another quotable creature, I guess, is the seagulls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the seagulls.
That's probably the biggest one.
Yeah. I always thought that was so annoying.
They're really annoying, but...
yeah, I mean, that's...
they're quotable.
Yeah, they're supposed to be annoying.
If you want to be annoying.
Every time I see seagulls now.
Also, that's, like, weird that they made a dichotomy between intelligent birds and then just, like, stupid-ass birds, mm-hmm. you know? Like, no other creature in the movie has, like, is that dumb. Like, all the other ones are, like, kind of with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Except for the jellies. The jellies just don't, you know, they don't speak. They're just, like, a floating sea creature.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of what they are, aren't they? They're like not really alive, not really dead.
Oh, that's creepy.
Roaming the earth.
Yeah. Well, I think they're alive.
We'll need to confirm that.
Yeah. I guess they don't have mouths.
No.
Who's to say? I don't know. I'm no ocean expert. We had that problem with Bug's Life, too. We don't know a lot about animals. We're discovering that as we go.
Well,
you think you do, and then when you go to talk about it, that's when you realize you don't.
Exactly.
We know ants were slaves to cockroaches or whatever, grasshoppers.
And aphids are slaves to ants, so it's a circle of life.
Yeah.
I don't follow.
You gotta listen to the Bug's Life pod.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna.
I wrote down
all right,
here.
All right.
Instead of "it's a piece of cake," I don't know if you guys caught this. He said it'll be a piece of kelp.
Oh yeah, Gil.
Who said that? Gil.
Gil.
Oh,
when, I keep wanting to call him Scar.
Yeah, his name should be Scar. Yeah. Yeah, he's talking about the escape plan, and
yeah.
He's like, "It'll be a piece of kelp." It's funny. His name is Gil, and then most of the other fish's names are like just names, but then Marlin's name is Marlin, but that's another fish.
Yeah.
Which Nigel, the bird, makes a point of that. He's like, his name's like something like a, I can't remember what he says, like a big fish. That's kind of weird though, right?
Yeah. It is weird.
None of the other ones, they all have like just regular names.
Yeah, like Nigel. Yeah.
Nigel, Dory, Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Peach.
Peach.
Flo.
Nemo,
Flo? What about Flo?
Flo. That's kind of, yeah, that's maybe a subtle pun.
That's even more tragic, that poor fish.
Oh, Flo with her her twin.
Her sister.
Yeah,
her reflection.
Oh, that's another good quote. She's like, "Don't listen to anything my sister says. She's nuts."
Oh, here's some of the puns I found here. So back to the turtles. When he first gets on the shell, he's like, "Careful with the shell, I just waxed it."
Yeah.
Little turtle wax joke there. Very clever.
Yeah.
And then maybe the most subtle one, they're tracking the dentists. I think when they're trying to do the escape plan and get the aquarium dirty. So Gil asks Peach, says, "Any movement on the dentist?" And she's like, "Well, he's on his fourth cup of coffee, so it's probably soon." So it's like, yeah, a little poop joke.
Is that a poop joke?
A little poop joke.
I did not realize that at all.
It's a subtle poop
joke. Poop
joke. Yeah. Snuck that one
in
there.
Before he goes to see a man about a wallaby. Another one.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah, because you got to break out.
Yeah, that's another one. Like, well, I didn't even catch it, but like for a kid, I mean, that would mean nothing to them.
Mm-hmm. I only
which
noticed.
Which is unfortunate because kids love poop jokes.
Yeah.
I do too.
That was my first time noticing that, yeah. Because I love poop jokes.
I know an Aussie. I'm going to use that on them and see what they say.
When you're talking to kids?
Yep, I'm going to go talk to kids. Hey, kids. Guess who has to go poop?
Just had some coffee.
As long as when you guys have my bail, then I'm good.
Yeah, you're definitely going to jail for that. We'll get you out.
All right, where are we?
We're wrapping it up. We're almost at the end here. So, yeah, he gets Marlin and Dory get eaten by the other pelican, and then they meet Nigel, the good pelican. He saves them from the stupid seagulls.
Yeah.
And then brings them to Nemo. And then that's a pretty tense scene there when Nemo's like trying to get out and his father's there and then Darla's there shaking the bag and it's like all fucking chaos.
Yeah.
That was a good climactic scene.
We kind of skipped this scene earlier where when Nemo first hears that his father is coming or looking for him and like being all brave and then he like feeds off of that and gets super brave and goes back into the filter with the stone again.
Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty intense moment.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, my dad's doing all this stuff for me. I better step up.
He's a total bitch. It should be.
Yeah, he's like.
He also just doesn't believe his dad is looking for him. He's like, that's not my dad.
Yeah, like, yeah. He's like, my dad's a wimp. He would never look for me. He's probably crying in his anemone right now. But he is. He's out there.
Yeah, that's pretty. And then, yeah, he does it, and they all think he's dead. Because he jumps into the blade. And
then it's like, hey, guys.
Yeah, hey, guys. I made it.
And then
Nemo's pretty
cute.
No
big deal. He's cute.
Nemo's friggin' cute this whole time.
I want Nemo and Squirt to hang out. I think they'd be good buds.
Yeah. That'd be Squirt. A cute offshoot movie. Finding Squirt.
Yeah. Adventures of Nemo and Squirt.
Squirting Nemo.
That one's not for kids.
Oh, man.
Yikes.
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 Where were we?
Anyways, yeah, so...
In that scene, the pelican flies in again, and then one of those other cliches that happens, Marlin thinks that Nemo is dead. Mm. And then...
Well, I think Nemo, it's funny that Marlin and Dory are in the pelican's beak that whole time.
Yeah, they're pulling him around.
And then he pulls his tongue, and he makes him fly all crazy.
Because, yeah, the Nigel's like, I can't go in there. Like, about the dentist's office, but it's like, dude, you're in there, like, every day.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't want to, like, go, like, in it all the way, but he hangs out on the window sill.
And he knows about dentistry, too. He's pretty knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nemo, of course, goes down the drain, which leads to the ocean, or whatever, and...
Yeah, Gil gets then, him out there.
Yeah. And
well,
then...
Gil risks his life.
Yeah, that was pretty
He's
heavy.
Like... He's a fish out of water. And then he, like, flips him out there. That was pretty intense.
Yeah, that was cool.
Fucking rails on Darla. She's freaking out.
Yeah, she's shaking the bag.
She's the worst.
Big no-no.
She's the worst.
Does that kill a fish if you just shake the bag a lot?
I mean, imagine.
I feel like it can't be good.
That's true. It wouldn't make him happy.
Yeah, it kills a baby. I mean, it's probably gonna kill a fish too.
This is true.
I mean, I had
I got dark. I'm sorry.
I had an aquarium. My family had an aquarium growing up, and my mom. I remember whenever we took the fish home from the store, she would tell me to hold the bag very carefully, not to like,
that's
shake it too much in the car.
Not like, wake up, fishy. Why are you sleeping?
Wake up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm no Darla, but. I don't know. I feel like, yeah, it probably would kill them.
Did you guys have fish growing up? I never had a fish.
I did. We had a fish tank. There was only one fish in the tank that lived to be really old. All the other ones kind of came and went, but
that kind of happens.
His name was Hoover.
Hoover.
He was one of those,
that's
like
great.
Those fish that clean the tank. Kind of, they swim along the bottom. They like eat scum or something.
Oh, Hoover. That makes sense. Okay,
it's like Hoover. A second. So I named him Hoover. Yeah, he was like our tank vacuum, and he lived forever. But yeah.
I never
had a clownfish because that's more of a saltwater tank thing.
Yeah, yeah. True.
It's a whole other thing.
I never had any fish. Could you?
I fish from like carnivals, but they'd always die in like a second.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Goldfish.
Goldfish. I had a friend who had like a bunch of goldfish, and then the same thing. Like one of them just lived like 10 times longer than the other 10.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something. Something with fish. Only one can survive. It's like the Thunderdome.
Survival of the fittest.
Of the fishest.
The fishest.
No. I get beta fish for a while too, but they just like eat each other and shit, so.
Yeah, they're aggressive.
That didn't
really
last long. Yeah.
They fuck each other up.
I don't think we knew that. Whoops.
You're gonna need that. We're so close to the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, so Marlin. Is depressed and pieces out, and then Dory has an episode and I can't remember who she is, and she meets Nemo, who in contrast to his father is very welcoming. He's like, let's go look for this together. You know, let's do this. Whereas Marlon's get the fuck away from me.
Yeah, he's like immediately.
Constantly.
Doesn't want to be friends. That was a heartbreaking scene, though, because like so Marlon just sees what he thinks is his one surviving child dead. And then they're leaving, and Dory's like opening up to him, saying like, this is the only, you're the only person that helps me like remember, kind of thing. Like, you know, kind of developing a dependent relationship there. But she's like, I don't want to forget anything. And then Marlon's just like, sorry, but I do want to forget. It's like, oh man, that's pretty heavy. Like, he just almost forgets this entire episode. He's like, I'm done. Came that
done
far.
With you.
Yeah, I'm done with you. Yeah. Done with my baby. He does say, like, he does thank her, which is nice. He kind of opens up a little bit. He's like, we couldn't have gotten this far without you, Dory, but he's still like, I'm over it.
Yeah. So then he has no one, essentially.
Well, even the pellet, like, Nigel's like, sorry, mate. And then he's like, leaves. That's it. Like, he could have tried to help a little bit or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he drops him off into the treated sewage water. He's like, sorry, put you in this poop water. Enjoy the poop water.
Arguably the worst place to leave fish.
Oh, yeah. I would think so.
I'll put you in some poison.
But yeah, then Nemo gets out, meets Dory, they have their reunion with Marlin, and then immediately get captured again.
I know. That part, I'm just like, okay.
I know. I was kind of like, yeah, come on. We can just finish it here. I don't really know what the point of that was, I guess, other than it. Marlin, like,
I mean, is it a build-up for the sequel? Because I haven't seen the sequel yet.
Oh, I haven't either. Dory. Me neither. It could be.
So maybe that was like a... Because they almost lose Dory right there.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was like a... I don't know. A hint that maybe Dory would get lost soon.
Yeah.
That also made me wonder, and we need an oceanographer for this, but...
I'm calling one right now.
But if fish just organized, you know, and they wanted to be liberated... And they just swam down. Do you think they could do that? Like, do you think that would actually happen? Like, if all the fish just swam down, they would just destroy all boats.
Yeah, they wrecked that boat.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of fish. I don't know.
I'm kind of afraid of a fish leader, like a fish uprising, like a planet of the fish.
Planet of the fish. Yeah, it's best to just never go into the ocean, I think. You never know what's going to happen.
Stay out of there.
I would see that movie with James Franco. He like takes a smart fish in and then it escapes.
The smart fish learns English.
It learns to talk out of frustration, like in that movie. He just like, that movie postulates that learning how to speak is like you just build up so much inside of you and just finally you speak. Because he just goes like, no. And then it just like happens. And language.
Maybe that's Dory's backstory.
Maybe she could speak English.
She got so angry that she learned how
and
to
read it.
I guess. It's like, I'm done with this. I'm just going to read this word.
Oh, maybe her brain's so small that she had to move all her short-term memories so she could remember English and reading.
Hmm. Maybe you find out in Finding Dory. We'll have to watch that. I guess we will, but.
Maybe. Yeah, we will, definitely.
Why not?
So they win.
They win.
They beat the boat.
Fuck the boat.
They're reunited.
They beat the boat.
A happy family.
And they're back at school. Everyone's happy. Marlon knows how to tell a joke, finally.
Can you retell
a
joke to me?
He gets a sense of humor.
Ah, shoot. Like, I don't remember the joke. I should have wrote it down. Do you remember, Chelsea?
I don't remember it.
I could tell a bad version of it.
do they say the whole joke, or do they do that thing where they just like come into the punchline?
The punchline? Yeah, I don't.
It
remember.
Might have been that.
Probably is that.
Because I just like they should have had a really good joke for him to be able to tell at the end.
Oh wait, I remember the punchline. Because he's like, with friends like these, who needs anemones? That's the punchline.
Wasn't it with fronds like these?
Fronds? What's a fronds?
I think it was fronds. I swear to God, it was fronds. With fronds like these, who needs anemones?
Sure. I don't know what a frond is, though.
sea cucumber and a mollusk. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the whole time he's trying to tell the joke about a sea cucumber and a mollusk.
They don't usually talk, you see. Yeah. You know, they don't really talk. They don't, like, usually come down to each other. But then this joke, they, like, go together as a situation in which they interact, so it's crazy, you know? Like, just put your mind there.
Yeah, I like how the first time he's telling the joke, he's like, a sea cucumber says something to a mollusk. He's like, well, they don't usually talk, but in jokes, everyone talks. No, like, that's true.
You're like, you're a talking fish.
Yes, exactly. Little meta joke there. Everyone talks in Pixar movies.
And then, except the jellyfish.
Except the jellyfish.
Yeah, because they're not alive.
Full circle.
Well, then Dory's still chilling with, like, the sharks and stuff.
Oh, yeah, they reunite with the sharks. And their buddies.
Which she needs. She needs, like, some counsel. For sure.
Yeah, she needs a buddy. Because Nemo goes to school again. And then he's like, I'll see you later, talking to Dory and Marlin. So I guess they're, like, roommates now or buddies.
Maybe they're romantic.
Well, that's the thing I noted. That this is, like, the first Pixar movie. There's, like, not even an attempt at a love interest.
That is true. Yeah,
that's true.
Like, not... just, I mean, the,
like, Coral's gone at the beginning, and then it just,
yeah, it's true.
Like a second.
She planned the whole thing, though.
Yeah,
they, like, flirt a little bit too in it. They're like, ooh, remember when I bought this house, blah blah blah, and then they see a barracuda.
Yeah, barracuda.
Yeah,
huge.
There's really no romantic, I don't know, friendship or love throughout the whole thing except for that beginning.
Yeah, nothing romantic. I mean, it's just, it's like an interesting friendship kind of dependency with Dory and Marlin, but it's a little novel idea for a Pixar movie.
I wonder if they get together in Finding Dory.
Hey, now. That'd be hot.
Eh? Maybe she's like a runaway bride and he has to go find her, you know?
Yeah, it's just a retelling of Runaway Bride.
Yes. With Richard Gere as Marlin.
Except she forgets what she's running from.
Oh, that's a good idea, actually. These are good ideas. We'll have to find out.
The last scene in the movie is the dumbass dentist left his window open again.
He doesn't learn.
And somehow they're in bags and they survive like a 3-story fall. And they go on the road, and they fall off into the water.
Like in Toy Story 2, I guess no one witnessed this happening.
Yeah.
All these things crossing the road.
These bags of fish rolling across.
And the starfish says, that was the shortest red light I ever seen.
That was pretty funny.
But then I like the last from the puffer guy, and he's like, what do we do now? which is exactly what I thought. They're stuck in bags.
Yeah. They need to find those swordfish. Poke their bags open.
Yeah, how, like, what a gruesome ending if they make it that far and then they just die in the bags.
They just die.
The next movie starts.
Yeah, that's how Finding Dory starts. I'm sure they made it out. For all the kids.
Yeah,
it's
fine.
Yeah,
all the kids
they're
listening.
Fine.
They're fine. Everyone's fine. No one dies.
Also, don't go to the dentist.
Yes. If you learn nothing, kids, don't go to the dentist. That was the main point.
So is that the moral of Finding Nemo?
That's the moral of this podcast, for sure. We'll work it in to all of our podcasts.
I just looked it up. And Brad Garrett he reprises his role as Bloat, the puffer fish, or porcupine fish, rather, in Finding Dory. So they are alive.
Bloat. Okay, good. Bloat. So there you go. Yeah. Now everything's fine. One thing I did note, too, at the ending, no original song. And it turns out that this was the first Pixar movie that Randy Newman didn't compose the music for, because the last song is just it's a Frank Sinatra song, right? It's just a cover.
Yeah,
and
they didn't really have like any like sing along moments like the other movies.
Yeah, no real songs at all. Just kind of like atmospheric music, which is fine for the movie. It kind of worked.
Yeah.
And as we've touched on in other podcasts, Kuji, you hate Randy Newman.
Just don't like his voice, man.
A lot of things you hate. Just... We got to keep a track of it.
Things Kuji hates. Hate. Dolphins.
Who says?
Dentist, dolphins, Randy Newman.
Just don't like how they treat sharks, okay? Dolphins are so mean to sharks. And they're just recovering fish addicts, and it's not fair. Yeah.
I think we did it. We covered everything.
Did we do it?
Any miscellaneous notes? Anything you wanted to... Kuji, you're usually good for a couple of random notes. I found one.
Okay, go.
At one point, Crush, when Marlin meets Crush, and Marlin asks about Dory, if she's okay, Crush says she's sub-level, which I thought was a cute way to talk about someone being sick. Another quote I'm going to take from this movie.
Also, she's super misleading. He's like, she's sub-level, like all bummed and stuff, but she's totally fucking fine.
She was
like, why would you say it like that?
Well, she was literally a sub-level because she was just like a couple of turtles below him.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe it's just to try to throw you off there.
But... Well, when they first show her, she looks like she's just kind of lying there.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah. she's
just
fine.
Counting. Yeah, exactly.
When she straight up ignores him. His pleas for help.
Yeah, what a meanie. But I think that, yeah, that's it. This was good. All thanks to you, Chelsea, for coming and joining us.
Yeah, thanks.
Our first special guest.
Well, maybe I'll come back if the people want me.
I think, yeah. I'm sure, knowing how rabid our fans are for a different voice, someone other than Kuji and myself.
And plus Finding Dory is up on the line.
Yeah, we'll have to do Finding Dory, a movie none of us have seen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
It's actually it's in theaters, in like the discount theater still, but we've got some time before we need to watch that one.
Yeah, the next one up is The Incredibles.
Oh, nice. That one's great.
Which I'm very excited about.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
I'm excited to watch that again. I mean, Nemo, like I was saying, I remember like liking it, but it was, to be honest, it was better than I remembered it being. It's like a real solid movie, like I was saying, all kind of everything like informs the next action to happen. It's just a well gosh darn movie.
Giving your personal ratings?
No. Not like a star system. I mean, we kind of talk about like if we liked it or not generally.
Yeah, yeah.
But
we should probably figure out some ranking system.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
9 out of 10.
So this is the fifth.
And lamps.
This is the yeah. How many Pixar lamps? Yeah, this is the fifth one. I would say it probably ranks up there, top two or three. Toy Story is always going to be number one in my mind, just because of,
yeah,
the nostalgia.
I think Bug's Life is probably the bottom one we've seen.
Bug's Life, well,
as of yet.
Toy Story 2, I had a lot of problems with, but this one and Monsters, Inc., I think are kind of 2 and 3 so far. Mm-hmm. But I would say 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 is probably a good part to have it. 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, I don't know if we said that.
That's pretty good. It cost $94 million to make. They made $940 million, so I think they did pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good movie. And I think this was a good podcast.
Agreed.
So just to do some kind of housekeeping at this point, this podcast is going to be on iTunes, and you can see it under the Hard Men to Please umbrella. We're going to try and start an LLC. Hard Men to Please LLC, and then it'll be under that umbrella.
And that's hardmentoplease.com?
Hardmentoplease.com. Yep. This will be posted there on SoundCloud. Asterixar. At soundcloud.com/asterixar. Twitter is at asterixar. Instagram, which, Kuji, you're going to put up some dope pics, I'm sure.
Yeah. At Asterix R as well.
Asterix R. We got all of them. At Asterix, or Asterix R podcast at gmail.com. We got it all. Every single friggin' social media outlet. There's so goddamn many.
So hit us up on one of them.
All of them.
I'm sure we'll answer or something. All of them. Every single one. Even if you don't like it, just
especially if you don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that'll help us make it better.
Tell me how much you hate me.
Yeah. I hate you. No. the fans. Oh, okay. But that's it. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Fuck dolphins, man.